chapter 8, and we're going to start with a wonderful story here that we're going to look at. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Now, before I get into this story, I just want to make a suggestion. What are we going to see as we study the miracles of Jesus? Now, here's one thing that we might be tempted to see. We might look at these stories and say, wow. Wow, that was a pretty cool story. In the way that you'd go to a movie and watch a movie and say, wow, that's a cool story. Or you'd read a book and you'd say, well, that's a cool story in the book. That kept me entertained. That kept me from falling asleep when I was in church this morning. That was neat. Now, sometimes we look at Bible stories like that. Oh, that's a cool story. That's neat. But that's not the purpose of why these stories were written. And that's not why I trust we are here to be studying the Word of God. What are we going to look for in these weeks ahead as we study the miracles of Jesus? Can I suggest this? Ask God every week when we come here to look at these miracles, no matter if you've heard them before, no matter if you've known the story inside and out, to say, Lord, show me something about Jesus today. Let me see Him and how amazing He is. Let me see, as I read this story today, let my eyes be open to see Jesus and to say, wow. Let me look at Him and look what He did here on earth and say, that's remarkable. This is what we want to see when we come to these stories. We want to see the glory of Jesus Christ as He's presented in the Bible. So now, with that introduction, Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to read for you verses 1 through 4. Just four verses we're going to read today, and these are the verses we're going to study today. When He was come down from the mountain. Now, why was He up on the mountain? The Sermon on the Mount. He was up on the mountain, He was preaching, He was giving the message, and when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. So a ton of people right now are crowding after Jesus. They're wanting to follow Him and see what He's about. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And look what Jesus said. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Today we're going to look at a story that I'm going to entitle Able and Willing. Able and Willing. Now, oftentimes we hear that phrase flipped. We hear it willing and able, right? I'm both willing and able to do this. And to illustrate this to the children this morning, as I gave them a preview of the lesson, I asked for a volunteer. I said, I need a really strong volunteer. Who's going to be the volunteer? And of course, if you ask a child if they're strong, they're like, yeah, absolutely, I'm strong. So all these hands were up there. And so I would choose one of the smaller ones. I chose one of the smaller ones. I said, come on up here. I said, are you willing to help me lift something? And they said, yes, absolutely. They were ready to help me lift something. I said, okay, so come on over here to the piano. I say, and take one hand and just lift this piano for me, will you? And of course, they said, I can't do that. They went over there and they were struggling with that piano. They couldn't do it. I said, see, there are some things that we can do that we're willing to do, but we're not able. Then downstairs, I said, okay, I need another volunteer. Who would be a volunteer to come up here? And of course, when I say volunteer, hands start going up and waving around. Who would be a volunteer to come up and eat a big plate of raw zucchini? And you should have seen those hands go down. And I asked one of the young men who was being particularly outgoing in the sense, I said, what's going on? I said, can you eat a plate of raw zucchini? He said, yeah, I can. I said, do you want to? No. And so I made the point that there are some things that we are able to do, but we're simply not willing. There are some things we're willing but not able. There are other things that we're able but not willing. Now, let's apply this to Jesus. Did you notice what the man who was a leper, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, the man who was a leper did? He came to Jesus and he said, if you will, in other words, if you're willing, if you want to, I know you can heal me. I know you're able to cleanse me. And I love Jesus' response to him. I want to. I'm willing. I am both able and willing. And this story, I think, tells us something wonderful about the willingness of Jesus Christ to exercise his healing power on our behalf. And also, it tells us something about who we are. Let's start, first of all, by talking about the affliction of this man. The affliction of this man. And if we were to talk about leprosy, we would all admit that it is an affliction. Now, the word leprosy, the word leper, is used throughout the Bible. And today, we would say that leprosy is a disease that is also known as Hansen's disease. It's a very, very difficult disease. It's a very, very awful disease. From what I understand, and I almost hesitate to speak here with some medical experts like Mrs. Watson here, but from what I understand about Hansen's disease, leprosy as we understand it today, it's a disease that attacks the nerves of your body. And so what happens to someone with leprosy is that they begin losing sensation in their extremities, in their fingers, in their toes, in their nose, in their ears. They lose sensitivity. They lose the ability to touch. And so what happens with some people in leprosy, we've heard of people who have leprosy, their fingers falling off or nose falling off or toes or these things falling off. In some, as I understand it, in many cases, because simply they don't have the pain sensations to tell them when they're wearing their fingers to the bone. There's a story of one doctor who said that there was some kind of latch or some kind of key on a door, and a man was trying to open it and he couldn't. And a boy with leprosy came up and said, "Here, I can do it." And just this little malnourished boy and took this key and turned it. And the doctor thought, "What on earth? How can this little boy turn this?" And then he looked at his finger and saw blood coming out. When he had turned the key, he had exerted so much pressure that it had gone all the way through the skin, through all the way to the bone. And the little boy had no idea. His nerves had been so compromised that in this awful, awful disease, he had no ability to see what was the pain sensation that the rest of us would face. And the word for leprosy in the Bible means literally scales, scaly. And so not only was there this awful attack of the nerve systems in your body, they would start out with these white, scaly patches that would go all over your body, would utterly deform you. And it was this awful, horrific disease. It was. If we were to put it in modern terms, we might say it's like the AIDS in our day. Or we might say even in more modern times, it would be like almost the Ebola of our day. It was an awful disease. And so here's this man with this disease. He's got the condition of leprosy. Now let's learn a couple things about this disease. First of all, its severity. Now, leprosy in the Bible can refer to, it appears, many different kinds of skin conditions. Many different kinds of, you see in Leviticus when it's talking about certain kinds of leprosies, there may have been something like a contagious skin disease, but not what we would call Hansen's disease today. It appears, from everything we can tell, that this man was suffering from what we would call Hansen's disease, the very serious form of leprosy. And the severity of this disease was that it was a terminal illness. This would be something that he would have for life. This was a death sentence. This was an awful, severe disease. It was a contagious disease. It was something that could be communicated by touch. That's why there were so many people that would stay away from lepers. It wasn't just severe. It was a case of separation. Of separation. Actually, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus. This is the third book of the Bible. So Genesis, Exodus, and then Leviticus. And Leviticus chapter 13 is God's prescription for the Israelites thousands of years ago, his prescription for what to do when someone had this kind of skin disease. They didn't have modern medicine back then. They didn't have the ability to diagnose and treat certain bacteria and illnesses. And this is what God had commanded for the children of Israel when someone looked like they might have leprosy. Now, look at verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. In other words, his clothes shall be torn. His clothes will be torn. His head bare. In other words, take any covering off his head. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Wow. Now look at verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. In other words, think about the separation of this leper. Outside the camp, outside the city. Unable, prohibited from coming into the temple to worship with God's people. He had this awful contagious disease. Cursed, in a sense, to live alone. Live alone in this awful condition of separation from everybody. And not only was there this severe condition that would take his life, not only was there separation completely apart. Do you remember when Jesus healed in Luke 17 lepers? He healed 10 of them, and it says they were standing afar off. That was the leper. They might be together in the way that someone, a group of people with AIDS might be together, or other people with another kind of contagious disease might live together, but they were completely cut off from normal society. And also, maybe the worst part of this affliction was the shame. Lepers were despised. Now, they would look back to the Old Testament, the people of Jesus' day, and see that God had cursed people with leprosy. He had cursed, remember, King Uzziah with leprosy. The king had gone to the temple and tried to start acting like the priest, and they kicked him out, and God's curse on him was leprosy broke out. And so the rabbis of Jesus' day thought it was completely acceptable to absolutely despise lepers. Apparently there was a rabbi that would rejoice in the fact, would boast about him throwing rocks at lepers. This is the church man, right? I mean, this is the guy in church. He would say, man, you should see, I just rejoice in throwing rocks at lepers. Another one of them said, I won't even buy an egg from a street where a leper has been. I won't even go into that market and buy even an egg if a leper's been there. There was an absolute hatred. There was and they felt justifiably so. Here's someone who God has cursed. We don't need to be around them. We don't need to show any love. And you can imagine the person who is cursed to go around saying, unclean. Can you imagine going down Nicollet Avenue and walking down and saying, hey, unclean, hey, don't be around me. I'm unclean. Back out of the way. Yep, look at me. You can imagine.
It's like the camps of India.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You can imagine the shame that this man experienced on a daily basis. This affliction of leprosy. But look at remarkably here in approach. Look at what this man does. Take a look at chapter 8 and verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now stop at that word came. And there came a leper. Now, this is the person who is utterly shamed in society, the person who is cursed to be separated from society and has a terminal disease, and the Bible tells us he came to Jesus. He came. There was an approach that was here. Now this, in and of itself, violated society's conventions. This, in and of itself, would have been viewed as a shocking thing to do. I guarantee you, those multitudes, when they saw, remember, multitudes were following Jesus, when they saw this leper come storming up, come charging up to Jesus, and walk right up to him, they would have said, Whoa, what's going on? Is someone going to stop this guy? Don't you see this person is a leper? This person is the one who's cursed to be separated and to stay away from all other people. And he's walking right up to Jesus, the teacher who was just preaching up there on the mount. What's going on here? You see, what happened? What was going on in this man's heart as he, or in his approach? First of all, we're going to mention the aspects of this coming. Now look at some of the things that there is here. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. First of all, he came near. He came near. You see, he saw his awful affliction, his awful condition, and he came to Jesus Christ and he says, okay, I got to be around this guy. This guy's my only help. Did you notice that also Scripture says that he worshipped him? He came to Jesus, and the picture here is him falling down on his face at his feet and saying, Jesus, come on, can you help me? Can you help me? You notice he didn't just come near, he didn't just worship. Did you know what he called? Did you see what he called him? What did he call him? Lord. Now, this is a remarkable response of this man. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now, maybe he had heard some of the miracles that Jesus had done. Maybe he had seen a miracle or two that Jesus had done. But this is still a remarkable demonstration from a man to come up to someone that he has just seen up on the mountain preaching, great multitudes following him, and he comes up and worships, falls down, and says, you're Lord. Lord, Master, Boss. Now, what does he say? What does he say in this coming? First of all, or second of all, look here, the confidence. Look what he says. Lord, you can. Lord, you can. Now that should be remarkable in and of itself, shouldn't it? Here's a man who has been so shamed and ashamed of his condition. This is a man who knows that there's no doctor on earth that can treat his condition. There's no person that can give a special potion, a special balm, and take care of his disease. And yet he comes to Jesus and he says, I know you can. I know you can heal me. I know you can cleanse me. I know you can take care of this terminal illness. You see, that is a remarkable response, isn't it? That's a remarkable response of faith. But you see here what his concern is. He doesn't just say, Lord, I know you can. He says, if you will. If you're willing, I know you can. You see, there was a condition there that he recognized. There was a conditional aspect to Jesus' power. He says, I know you can, but I'm not sure you're willing. I don't know if you want to. But he came anyway. He came anyway because he said, I know you can. So what a wonderful approach this man made. What a wonderful approach to come to Jesus, to worship him, to call him Lord, to look at him and say, I know you've got the power, I just don't know if you're willing. And third here, let's talk about the answer. The answer. Was Jesus able? Of course he was. Was he willing? Of course he was. Isn't this amazing answer that Jesus makes? This man, this leper, violates all society's conventions, comes up to him, falls down in his face. I think any normal person would have been stepping away. Hey, just make sure you're not getting too close. I don't want to get this disease. I don't want to catch this disease. But then, when the man says to him, do you want to? If you will, I know you can make me clean. Jesus just says, I will. I want to. I desire to heal you. I will be clean. Be clean. Now, what is going on underneath this answer? What's going on underneath this response of Jesus to look at the leper? Because, right, there are many ways that Jesus could have said this. He could have said, okay, I will. You've been there as a parent, right? your child has tugged on your pants, tugged on your shirt, and says, "Mommy, please, Daddy, please, 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 please." Lars is at that stage now where he thinks if he asks every single second, the answer is going to change. And so we're dealing with that stage right now. But you've been at that point where someone's been so persistent, you finally said, "Okay. Okay, I will."
It's like the woman and the judge.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's a very good thought there, Johnny. And so there's this, we could say, "I will." We could say there would be almost an angry and irritated. "Okay, I will, but just get out of here. Just get away from me." There could be that kind of willingness. But that wasn't the willingness that Jesus showed here. And this is where we see the heart of Jesus and the glory of Jesus so wonderfully displayed. Look over at, if you will, at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. This is the parallel passage. This is telling the same story. It's just from a different perspective. It's from the perspective of Mark now, as opposed to the perspective of Matthew. And turn to verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Mark says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him." So there's worship. "Beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, 'If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.'" That is exactly what we saw before. If you will, you can. Now look at verse 41. "And Jesus," now read those next three words out loud with me, "moved with compassion." And Jesus moved with compassion, "put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.'" Do you know what that phrase "moved with compassion" means? The word is pointing at your bowels, at your spleen. That's kind of the word that was used for that. Now, we wouldn't say "I love you with all my spleen," but there's a sense in which you know that when you feel compassion towards someone, it hits you where? Right here. It hits you right in your innermost being. You see someone, and there's a sense in which your very innermost being is saying, "Oh, I feel for that person." And the picture here is of Jesus' insides, his very insides just churning with compassion for this person. Now, friends, do you see the difference between Jesus and the rabbis, the religious leaders of that day, throwing rocks at the leper, looking at the leper, and looking at him as such an outcast that they wouldn't even want to buy something from the same street that he was on? And Jesus, who looks at this person and doesn't see the scaly awfulness of their condition that is completely disfiguring them, does not look at the rending of their garments, does not look at them saying, "I'm unclean, stay away, stay away." He looks at them and he loves them. Well, and Jesus, the compassion, the love that he had was a divine love. Because it is not our natural inclination to look at someone who is completely unlovable and say, "Oh, I love you. I have compassion for you." So often our natural inclination is someone's coming down the street and, "Oh, let's make a wide berth. Let's make a wide berth around this person." Jesus' heart was one of complete compassion. But you see, Jesus' compassion didn't end right there. It didn't end with him just having this internal kind of feeling to say, "Oh, I feel bad for you. I hope you make it. I hope you have a better life." His compassion, that's right, his compassion was followed by care. Now notice what Matthew chapter 8 tells us. "And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him." You want to know what's crazy? I mean, just think about this for a minute. Can you think about a person who is suffering, say, from Ebola? the disease that everyone is absolutely terrified about, and the person who comes in and says, I don't need a suit, I just want to go touch you and heal you. We say, that's crazy. Yeah. But that was Jesus' compassion for this man. Now look at it from two perspectives. Look at it from Jesus' perspective. That's the one that's maybe blowing us away right now. Here's a man that no one wants to be near. No one wants to get leprosy. No one wants to have this awful death sentence of a condition. No one wants to have the AIDS of their day. And so everyone gives him a wide berth. Jesus puts out his hand and touches him. Doesn't matter what he's touching. Doesn't care about whether he, because he can't be defiled. Jesus can't be made unclean. And so here is this amazing love, but look at it from the other perspective. Look at it from the perspective of the leper. Can you imagine going through your entire adult life never touching another person? Never shaking someone's hand? Never giving someone a hug? Never kissing someone? Never having any kind of affectionate or loving touch? Can you imagine what it was for that man for Jesus to reach out to him and touch him? And say, I will be clean. Friends, the compassion of Jesus was not something that was in word only. It was indeed. And do you know that tells us something about the compassion that God wants to manifest through us? You see, it's easy, and we look at the book of James, it's easy for us to look at someone and feel some kind of compassion for them in a difficult circumstances and say, oh, go be warmed and filled. Good luck. I'll be praying for you. I'll really be thinking about you. You go out there and get it. It's another thing for us to show the compassion that Jesus felt, to get our hands dirty in their situation, to see someone who is suffering and not just kind of put a blessing on them and go our way, but to say, no, I'll get down here with you. I'll be with you where you are. I'll touch you in that sense. I'll stay here with you. I don't care if anyone else is going to run away. There's compassion here that is motivated. There's a care here that's motivated by love. Now, Jesus shows this kind of compassion throughout the Gospels. The Gospels tell us that there was a blind man that Jesus touched and said, I'll heal you. The Gospels tell us there was a man who was deaf and who was mute, who Jesus had compassion on. He touched. And then there are the stories all throughout the Gospels where people knew there was such a power to Jesus that they just wanted to come up and touch him. They just wanted to come up and touch the coat of his garment because they thought, man, if I can just touch it, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. But there's this wonderful compassion of Jesus that manifests itself in complete care for this person. And finally here, there is cleansing. Can you imagine being here for this moment? To see the crowds, the multitude, be so shocked, first of all, to see this leper charge through the crowds and come up to Jesus and start worshiping him. And then the even greater shock when Jesus doesn't kick him away and say, hey, get out of here. Don't you know you're not supposed to be around here? But actually reaches out and touches him. But then can you imagine even the greater shock when the moment he touches him and says, be clean, the leper is transformed. Those scaly spots disappear. The deformities absolutely vanish. Suddenly they're looking at this person who is completely healthy, completely clean. I mean, can you imagine being there at this circumstance, at this time? It would have blown our minds. But there's something here that we see very interesting about leprosy. Did you notice that when this leper came to Jesus, he says in verse 2, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In verse 3, Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was, what word is used? Cleansed. Did you know that in the New Testament, when a leper, when speaking of leprosy and healing, it says he is cleansed, not healed? Now that's interesting, right? Because you might say, well, what he needed was healing. No, What Jesus recognized he needed was cleansing. Why? Because he, as a leper, was regarded by society, but even more so, the religious system, the law, as being unclean. Now, friends, here is where we see a wonderful picture, and we see it throughout Scripture, of leprosy as a picture of sin. Leprosy as a picture of sin. What is sin? Sin is something that is severe because it works in us death. All of us deserve death. All of us are dying. And all of us, from the moment we are born, throughout our life, are living under the specter, so to speak, of eternal death because of sin. Judgment for eternity in what's called the lake of fire. It's a death sentence, sin is, and it's a condition that all of us have had. Separation. You think there's separation when it comes to sin? Absolutely. Separation from God. All of us, from the moment we are born, have not been the friends of God. We've been the enemies of God. Why? Because it's in our nature. Our nature is to rebel against God and to be His enemies. And as a result, there's a separation between us and God, and it's a separation that will result in an eternal separation. What is hell? Hell is eternal separation from God. It's eternal distance from God. And is there shame in sin? Yes. Many of us here would say, there's been shame in my life because of sin. There has been deformity in my life because of sin. There are things that I have done that I look back and say, how could I have done it? Why? If only I could go take that one moment back. If only I could take that 50, 100, 1,000 moments back, those things that I've done that have such shame. And friends, because there is such shame in this affliction of sin, in this condition that all of us have, sometimes there is a response to the sinner that looks to Jesus and says, Jesus, I know you can. I know you can heal me of my condition. I know you can take care of my sin. Why? Because we read about it in the Bible. We've grown up in church. We say, I know that Jesus is powerful. If I ask the children downstairs, is there anything that Jesus can't do? They say, no, there's no. They know that. And yet oftentimes, there is this sense of the shame is so severe that the person says, I know you can, but do you want to? Do you want to save me? Do you want to heal me? Do you want to cleanse me? I'm not sure. Friend, hear the word of Jesus today. I'm willing. I want to. Jesus said in the book of John, He said, if anyone comes to me, he that comes to me, I will never cast out. I'm never going to kick out. I'm never going to say no. I'm not willing to the person who is ready to come to Jesus, to have the confidence in His power to save, to repent and say, you are the one that's worthy of my worship. Jesus is never unwilling. And we see it even again in our verse today. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will, who wants to, who desires to have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. Friend, I don't know what condition of sin specifically you're struggling with today. I don't know where your circumstances have taken you. I don't know whether you have been born again. There's a sense in which you have been cleansed already from sin, or whether you've never been. But friends, when it comes to the condition of sin, the message of Jesus to you this morning is that not only is He able, but He's willing. We know that's true for those who have never been saved, but we know it's also true for those who have been saved. Why? Because 1 Thessalonians tells us that the will of God, the desire of God for you is your sanctification. That you become more and more like Jesus Christ every day. That's His will. If there is a sin in your life that is tripping you up day by day by day by day, that's leading you to shame, that's leading you to separation from God. You know your relationship with God is not where you are. He's willing. He's willing. He's powerful enough to transform you in that area. Are you willing? Are you willing to come to Him? Are you willing to fall down and worship Him and say, I know you can, and I know you're willing. Will you do it? Friends, able and willing. That is our glorious Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this wonderful story. Lord, what compassion, what love from our Lord, reaching out and touching the untouchable. Lord, I pray for one here today who is living in shame, who is living in discouragement, who is living in grief over their condition. Oh, Father, if salvation is needed this morning, I pray that Your Spirit would convince that one here that You are willing, that You are willing to save them. Save them to the uttermost. Lord, I pray for those here that are dealing with sin even after salvation. Lord, may they see Your willingness, may they see Your power through Your Son to have victory, to live in the victory that You offer. Lord, be with our service this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.